February 15, 2022, it's the Walt from Pedro Show.
Starting to think about philosophy. What did you
say?
Yeah.
It started with religion, I guess. And well, talks and jobs, you know, religion. And then the first question of religion. Well, that brought on everything. You know, when I got to these where I would start to wonder about things.
Mm-hmm. What faith were you brought up in here?
Methodist.
Did you have a very strict religious life, or was it better?
It wasn't too strict, but it was there. I mean, like my grandfather, both of my grandfathers were ministers. Mm-hmm. And my mother, she was very religious. But, like, in my early years, she went to church every Sunday and stuff like that. And being under the influence of her grandfather, he was the dominant captain in the family. He was most well-versed, I guess, politically. He was most active, you know, than my father was a tailor, but he never seemed to say too much. He just went about his business, that was it, you know. But my grandfather, he was pretty militant, you know, politically inclined in religion, which was fear, you know. So that's I grew up in that. And I guess I just accepted it, and I thought I felt certain things. And late teens, I started breaking away, you know, and lost certain things. Just growing up, so I questioned, you know, a lot of how I found in religion. I began to wonder about 2 or 3 years later, maybe 22, 23, this Muslim thing. I got introduced to that, you know. And that kind of shook me. A lot of my friends, they weren't Muslim, you see. So I thought about that. Anyway, it took me to something I never thought about, you know, another religion, you know. So that started me to think. But I never did anything about it. I just thought about it. You know, said I was too busy for another thing. And I forgot it. I think I put it out of my mind for several years. I didn't bother to think about it. And recently I started looking into it, you know. Well, maybe I can just see what people are thinking, you know. Since I realize that's what I'm trying to do, you know. That's why I turned to things like this, you know. I haven't devoted as much time to it as I want to. I haven't actually learned or covered as much ground in it as I want to. I'd like to cover more ground in it. I'd like to, you know, like get my own thoughts together, compose the way I feel like they should be, you know.
Pedro Show. Happy Tuesday. Start off with August Bloom asking John Coltrane about philosophy in 1958. You can hear the dishes getting washed. Then we had Cassie Watson, Francillon?
Francillon.
Francillon, of course, Francais.
Francillon.
Yeah, right. In fact, your buddies with Louis Michel, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he's been on the show a couple times. Beautiful man. I love him. People, you can tell. Anyway, that tune was called Letter to Someone I've Met. And through the amazing accomplishments of those Estonian software guys with their, and women, their Skype invention, I got with me, Cassie Watson, Francillon. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
And we got to give Howard Wolfen credit for the connect.
Thank you, Howard. Hope it's not snowing where Howard is right now, wherever he is right now. Yeah.
No, where is he? He's like New Jersey, I think.
Yeah, he's around that coast, like around like Philly and Jersey and all that. Like around, little cold East Coast.
But I think of D.C. when he was younger, right? He was in the nurses and stuff like that. But let's talk about your journey through music. Please bring the earliest music memory you got still.
The earliest music memory I have, I think it was like church related. I heard that it's a story that's told to me, and you know that you kind of sometimes you have like confabulations when people tell you that story, so then you could totally see it happening. So apparently the earliest music memory that I now remember is my parents were, they were dining out, and I think I stood on the table in the diner, and I was just like, I want to sing Jesus. So I was like trying to sing a song from church or something.
Like him? Well, you know, a lot of the first rock and rollers learned to sing in church and stuff. Maybe there's some less fear, right? Emotional and spiritual stuff like that. I don't know, but there's a lot of common ground, and people do have a good time. Joyous, right? Joyous,
yeah, kind of thing. It's that joy, and it's like, you know, you kind of embody it, you know, and then it just comes out of you. You know, that's the, like, part of the purest part of it when it's not all in the head. I mean, thinking about it helps, like knowing the words. And that's actually part of the story is that I didn't know all the words. So I think the song was, you know, like Jesus has made me whole. And then I was singing A-A-E-O, like E-I-O or whatever.
Sure. That happens. Now, this pad you grew up in, your folks, was there musical instruments?
There wasn't music. It was like, you know, my stepdad was a janitor and mom was a social worker, and like they were just like, you know, there's no music. Music's on the radio, it's in the car, but it's not really in you, you know, it's nothing that they felt removed from it. So I never really asked to do much. Maybe one time I asked for like, you know, piano lessons or something because my best friend at the time, she, growing up in elementary school, she played piano in church and had a bunch of lessons. And I was always jealous of her, you know. So there was no music growing up. Like, I didn't really do that until
Well,
later
let me
on.
Ask you about school. You weren't in the marching band or the choir, shit like that?
None of that. No, okay. No. I was always shy, you know. Like, none of that, really. Like, they had like one like music class, like with, you know, everybody had like recorders.
Yeah. And people, those aren't tape recorders. They're kind of a flute, plastic.
Oh,
flute.
Yeah. Yeah. Plastic flute. I don't even think mine was mine. Like, you know, real talk. I mean, I think someone left one behind and I just like, and they didn't care about it. And I was like, I'll take this one. You know, I didn't, cause they were, I mean, they wanted like, I don't know how much now, like $20 or $30 for those. So it was kind of.
Now, was that your first instrument you repurposed in that found recorder?
I can't claim that because all I did was like hot cross buns.
Okay. What about the first record you bought with your own money?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Well, you know, when you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of money, so that's why I asked it.
It's funny because I had like a crate of records that were, you know, that they're like long gone now, like through a bunch of different moves and got tossed. But it's strange. Like, I think record wise, it would have been, it's strange. The first thing I ever bought was like a cantor, you know, cantor, like chanting and yeah.
The cantor, the guy who sings in temple and stuff, right?
Right.
The jazz singer's about that, right? His daddy wants him to be a cantor, and no, you know, I'm in the new land, and I want to be a jazz singer, right? I think that was one of the first big talkies, yeah, Al Jolson. I mean, it's funny when you see it, but the story is kind of, like, pretty romantic. What about the first gig you went and saw?
First gig I went to see? Oh, wow. That's crazy, because I knew a bunch of, like, folk music players, and so I would go to their stuff religiously, you know, like, go support your friends.
Yeah.
So I would say, and that's like, you know, like the Lower East Side back in New York, Lower East Side, and so it's like Pete's Candy Shop and the Bowery, like, yeah, so I was into poetry and whatnot, so a lot of like stuff on the Bowery, and then a good friend of mine, Farrell Foster, he was doing stuff at the Village Ma. I don't know if it's not called that anymore, I don't think. But so Farrell Foster, Village Ma is like beautiful, beautiful stuff. But I actually have a special surprise guest here with me. Can I break him out?
Absolutely.
It's Brian Weber.
Hey, Brian.
Brian Weber, yeah.
Big celebrity guest over here.
Yeah, bass brother.
There you go.
Right? Only four strings because they're bigger. Okay. right. So,
yeah.
You know,
Brian, what's the first gig you ever saw, you think?
Probably Festival International. It's this festival in Lafayette where I'm from that is like a Francophone festival that they bring a bunch of different French-speaking acts from around the world. And I think the first thing I remember seeing is all these incredible, like, African drummers and dancers and stuff like that. I think that's my earliest memory of, like, a live show. It's kind of all downhill after that, actually.
Well, sometimes people don't pick, you know, the situation happens.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Well, how'd you get on the bass?
Well, I was playing guitar for a while.
Typical story.
Exactly.
It was more work.
Exactly.
I mean, this goes way back. It goes back to people like Joe Osborne and Carole Kaye, you know. They're guitar people, but no one wanted to rock the bass. So.
I'm a huge fan of Carole Kaye, too. It's funny you say that. I was going through stuff the other day, and I ordered one of her, like, how to play bass books, and it came, like, still packaged in, like, a brown vanilla envelope and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, she gives lessons, like, Skype lessons.
I know, I've always wanted to do it, but I'm, like, afraid that I'm just going to sit there and geek out and annoy her.
And then, I know Cassie's got Louisiana Connect, and Joe Osborne was from Shreveport.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't forget you. I mean, he's great. He used the same... he had a trippy technique, right? Pick on flat wounds and sing Carole bass. Kaye? No, this is Joe Osborne.
Oh, I thought Carole Kaye did the same. Okay.
I think she had, because I've seen different pictures of basses with her. But with Joe, it's always that jazz. He got the first year they came out of Fender Jazz. And in fact, next week, I'm 3 days in the studio, those guys, right? United on, it used to be called Ocean Way and stuff on Sunset Boulevard. But what were they? Now, Carol says they weren't called the Wrecking Crew. She said they were called the Clique. with who's the drummer man?
It's from New Orleans.
Well, Earl Palmer was the number two
guy.
Earl
Palmer, yeah.
Right, but the number one guy was Hal Blaine. And
they
got into some kind of beef.
Yeah,
they got into some kind of beef. Here, I got some music here that Cassie gave me. Glad Me? This is you featuring Glad Me? Is that a name of a band or a person?
Oh, that's a name of an enigma.
Oh, that's a name. Okay, let's listen to that enigma and you.
Thank you, Frog.
Watt from Pedro Show. Start off that chunk of music with Cassie Watson, Francois, with featuring Gladney, who's, I understand, a saxophone player.
Oh, yeah. And Brian.
And an enigma.
Brian Weber's on here, too.
Brian Weber's on there. All right.
He's playing.
Well, yep. You know the politics of bass. We look good making you people look good. I love it. Anyway, this tune was called Ain't Nice. And then we had Sly and Robbie, Lost Brothers Sly. Yeah, incredible. No, it was Robbie. I played with Sly. Well, I shared the stage. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, this Frenchman Code. Then Noisuka, brand new. Messembles. Blamble. Yeah, my friends say is forgive me, pardon, for destroying the language. It's disgusting, I'm sorry. Victoria Shen, after that, Three Speed Records. Yeah, she's like glued three records together. She's got styluses on four of her fingernails. I mean, you want to talk about some trippy, what do you call it, turntable rock. Mama's Prendon after that from D.C. area with Ambionated Nation. Skullcaster out of Texas with Harm Induction. I'm Chris. Muskeg Mudsuck out of Alaska with Gone to See Gigi, see? Damon Smith duo, brand new, of St. Louis. Rock Kalam Bob Moses duet. Pure Circle number one. Then Alex Cunningham and Claire Rousset, Tast. And finally, Michaud's Melody Makers featuring Layla McCalla and Brian Weber. There you are, helping out Louie. And this was called Blue Runner, La Lune, Escroche. Right? Crochet. That fixes. Okay, so, Cassie, how'd you get into making music? Was it that Lower East Side experience?
I watched a lot of people play. Yeah, watched a lot of people play, and then, you know, there's a lot of emotions, things like that, that you can't really express, but only, like, through certain, you know, it's better done through sound than words.
Sure.
So, so I got, like, totally, you know, just totally depressed, and I couldn't, like, get out of bed or talk to people for a little bit. It was just a really, really, really big problem. And the only thing that got me out of it was, like, something I heard on the radio, you know, and it happened to be the sound of a harp. I don't know. I remember the cadenza, harp. Like, all, but...
That's the picture you got of you in the harp. Okay, so you first were introduced to the harp by a song on a radio.
Yeah, thanks, radio.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so you heard this sound. You wanted to get out of bed. Did you go chase down a harp? You see one in real life?
Even better. It chased me down.
Oh, how'd that work?
Well, what I did was, I started looking online, and back then it was like, you know, far and few in between. So I found like a tiny Celtic one and, started there, you know, just started on small ones. And I, at the time, I was, like, working at an animal shelter. And I was walking a dog, went outside. And lo and behold, there's, like, a woman playing harp out on the street.
Whoa. Like busking?
Not even busking, just doing it to just do it.
Oh, just prac. Okay.
Yeah, just to be there. And I was just like, this is weird.
Now, was it a tiny Celtic one, or was it one of them big old Harpo marks?
Oh, it was big marks. Yeah, okay. She had a concert
with, like, foot pedals and stuff.
Oh, all that. Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, like 6.5 foot one, 6-7 foot one. And so I walked past her, and then I was like, you know, if I come out 10 minutes later and she's still here, I gotta say something.
Right.
So I did, and I was like, hey, you know, I got, you know, a little Celtic one, and I've been just plugging at it for a little bit. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, can we talk? Can we do? What do you think? You know, just letting her know. And it turned out that woman was Brandy Younger. And, you know, I didn't know who she was at the time. But she was like, yeah, like, let's link up. Let's do this.
Wow.
So it was amazing.
That was a fortunate encounter.
That was crazy. And I don't even think I was supposed to be there that day. I think, like, I, you know, picked up an extra shift or whatever, you know? So.
But there's a sea change in your life.
Yeah. Yeah. No turning back.
So you move up from the Celtic. Do you get a big one like hers?
I did. Yeah. I've been through a couple, you know, made a little family of them of all sizes and shapes and colors. But, after Hurricane Ida, I had to get rid of some, you know, sell some. It was kind of downsized. But yeah, so we got big and small. It takes all kinds.
What? Did you have to train your fingers? I heard there's a little pain involved at first.
There is. You know, I've taught people, like students over time, and they complain about the pain. And then they're a little uncomfortable. You know, you get calluses.
Right,
you
got
a certain angle.
I know about the bass guitar. We had a little, you know, these cables. You know, I couldn't believe, when I first saw them, you know, for the first couple of years, because arena rock, you know, you're so far away, I didn't know bass had bigger strings. D. Boone's mom put me on there. We were 12. So I thought they just had skinnier necks. I remember seeing the first one, you know, about 16, right? I've been 4 years working this guitar with four strings and me and D. Boone in the bedroom and shit, trying to do Creedence Blue Oyster Cult and not being very good to figure it out. But then I saw one in a music store. I couldn't believe how big. So I can imagine they're not as big, but man, there's a lot of tension on a harp string, right?
Oh, I think, well, let me back up for a second. Brian and I, we've played together many times and our instruments have been near each other. And I guess I'll defer to both the bass experts here. Like, Brian, do you think the cables on my harp, like my wire strings, are the same size as yours, if not bigger?
The basses are bigger, but yours, like, has the whole range that gets to the very high where they're very tight.
I'm just talking about the bass strings.
Okay.
Those wires, cables.
They feel very different. Like, they're definitely not metal at all. it's like feeling.
Oh, they don't feel like it? Okay. Yeah, they feel like, they're like, so it's wire wrapped, you know, like wire and copper wrapped at the bottom of it, in the bass octaves. So I feel like, I always felt like they were the same. Actually, I tried to play bass for a minute and
really?
I sat that out though. I'm not okay. Good. I got
you got Watt all excited there. Okay. I'm a little biased towards that angle. Well, you know,
Happy Valentine's Day.
I got to tell you, man. In the older days, bass is where you put your retarded friend, man. Like, you know, like Brian, like he got into it, right? Because people didn't want to rock it. Nowadays, much different, especially after the punk movement. You had a lot of people, that's their first instrument. That was never the case in the older days, from my experience. So when was the first time you played the harp in front of people?
That's a great question. I would say, let me back it up. It's probably on like St. Mark's. There was a pub on St. Mark's and they had like a Celtic sessions. So it's definitely back there.
You used that little harp.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And was it woman alone or were you part of an ensemble?
Oh, definitely. I wasn't trying to do it alone. It was definitely part of an ensemble. Mia Theodoratis had she called it NYC Ho, so New York City Harp Orchestra. And we would do that. We would have like weekly you know, Celtic sessions.
Oh, so you're not just the only band member, but you're not the only harp. It was a group of harpists.
That's right. Oh
wow.
Yeah, Roland. And then, we would do things at, like, different festivals and, like, and Lincoln Center. We did something in there for their festivals outdoors.
And that first one was a success. Were you scared?
Oh, my goodness. Everyone I knew came. and it was kind of, it was crazy because I was so scared that I borrowed a different harp. I was like, I want a harp that's bigger than the one I got here in my hand. So I borrowed someone else's, but she had it tuned all weird. You know, the tuning wasn't what I used to. So the thing I went to play sounded completely different, you know?
Oh, man. Well, I was going to say, you know, we call them scary things pants shoes, but that was a real pants shoe.
Yeah,
improvise in the moment and get your sea legs. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, February 15, 2022 edition, Watt Pedro Show. Special guests, Cassie Watson-Precion and Brian Weber. Hold tight for hour two. February 15, 2022 is the second hour of Watt Pedro Show.
Exists forever, don't you see? The contradictions here. I can't reach the bottom. What's the correct viewing plane? Where's the fucking truth? I dreamt we were at a concert in Los Angeles. All of us together, all our friends were there. I can't reach the bottom. What's the correct viewing plane? I wish for a post-scarcity society where everything exists forever.
Wop for Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with People Museum featuring Cassie Watson Fracion and the tune Sleep. Then Ben Salter from Tasmania with Wish, Crushed by Pimps out of South London, Interpol, their buddies Tom Moody, and the new greatest hit band with My Ends, Paranoid State from Holland after that with Wrong Right. Kato Hideki, Watch the Sleeping Lover. And then Jennifer Gelnau and Walter Wright, live at Chilliwack Seats, 2013, October 13. Finally, Cam Smith with Session 20. So, first question. People Museum. Enlighten me.
People Museum, those are really cool friends of mine. They're out here in New Orleans, and that's a group with Claire Givens, Jeremy Phipps, Charles Lamar, Aaron Boudreaux. So they're, you know, it's just like beautiful vocals, and they manipulate the trombone and everything. High energy, just beautiful melodies too.
Yeah. And Cam Smith?
Cam Smith is our drummer friend.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, so Brian and Cam, they started Shakespeare in the Blues. Brian?
Okay. Yeah, you gave me three of those tunes. We're going to play them in the next hour and stuff. But that's what Howard, he referenced Shakespeare in the Blues. But you gave me all this other stuff, too, so it's all beautiful. I love it. So go ahead, Brian.
Cam and I have played together for a little while in another band back in Lafayette, but we both ended up in New Orleans and wanted to do something because we played really well together. And
where? In Alaska?
In Lafayette, sorry.
Oh, Lafayette. Okay.
That would be a much more interesting
story. No, Osborne.
But no.
No, that was Shreveport. That's right. Joe Osborne, Shreveport.
Oh, yeah, Shreveport, yeah, North Louisiana. But no, we were both living in New Orleans, and finally I just booked us a gig, and, you know, it's hard to get anybody else to play with you for free at a bar on a Tuesday night, so we just kind of did it ourselves for a while. Just for about a year, we would play about once a month, and just kind of figuring out the band, this live improv kind of a thing where we would loop and can't play synths too, and I do bass and guitar loop, but mainly bass stuff, yeah. And we just kind of formed the band by just playing live.
And this was Cam on his own, this Session 20.
Yeah, that was Cam on his own from his release.
How do you connect, Cassie, with Cam and Brian?
They were playing, and I was such a big fan of theirs. Like,
our one fan.
So she would go to the gigs, and then you guys end up making a band together.
Yeah, we just asked
her. Yeah, tell me how that happened. I love that. You know, that's in the old days, that's what it happened. People just meet each other and make bands.
Well, yeah, she had hired Cam for a different gig of hers that I went to, and I was like, oh, you're a badass. And then she came to one of our gigs, and it was just kind of like, hey, you want to come play with me and Cam?
So she joined Shakespeare in the Blues.
Yeah, and it just, I mean, it worked immediately. Like, okay. First gig, it was just great.
And what was it? Was it a trio?
Yeah. Just the three of us.
So just bass, drums, and harp.
Yeah, other electronic things that Cam and I, like, loop to.
Oh, okay. Like, what, like pedals and...
Yeah, I'll have a guitar that I can loop, and then Cam has, like, synths and samplers and... kind of create, like, soundscapes and vibes kind of thing. Yeah.
You know, the old cliche of the drummers being, it's just ridiculous, man. They're very creative, musical people I met on the drums. And it's rhythm music, you know. It's the heart of the whole thing. It's not in denial. You gave, Cassie, gave me some more Cam Smith. This is a tune, It's Okay, I Want to Play It, okay?
Oh, yeah.
What the hell is going on? I'm
que je sais où s'y se barrer. Il était très connu dans un ancien temps. Personne ne sait trop s'il est encore en vie. Mais je sais où il vit. Je lui rendrai visite dans sa petite cabane. Que je sais où s'y barrer. Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show, a chunk of music, starred Cam Smith doing It's Okay. And France Profond with Je sais où c'est Barrett Vite. Yeah, I know where it's at. This, the compilation, people doing television personalities, kind of comedy punk band out of England. This tune about knowing where Sid Barrett lived, you know. But there the big tune was the Part-Time Punks, right? Burt Sugar Orchestra Chamber after that. Naomi's Lullaby. Stoppets and Waterhouse with Runoff, plus Dog Plus, Helpers, Burlers with Exhaust Fan, OCD is Killing Me from the Bloody Mess Rock Circus, Ray Shin sent it to committee, and finally, you, Brian, the Ten String Man. What is the Ten String Man? Is that a Chapman stick?
There was a sample I found. It was this New Orleans gospel church that was on an old vinyl, and it was this sermon he gave. And I can't remember the specific Bible verse thing, but it kind of worked out with the track I was making.
Okay. Do you play Chapman stick? Maybe they don't have 10 streaks. I think some pedal steels have 10 streaks.
I don't know. Probably. They make some big ones.
Yeah, I mean, those things are a trip, man. There are so many things you can do with them.
But you know what? Also, another thing, I mean, this is just like outsider's point of view, because a non-bassist point of view, I would say, like in Shakespeare, when I got to play with Brian and Cam for the Shakespeare project, Brian was doing guitar and bass. So in my mind, like Brian's, his solo track, 10 String Man, that was bass, like 4 plus 6, like guitar.
Ah, yeah, exactly.
That's what I thought that meant. Exactly. I was like, oh, Brian's the 10, he's calling himself the 10 String Man.
Definitely not.
Brian, did you rock a double neck?
I thought it was just like, you know, introducing myself. I'm the 10 String Man. I was like, yeah, you're right. Like, yes, you are.
Yeah. Now, were you rocking a double neck? They weigh a ton.
Oh,
huh?
No.
One at a time, right? Okay. Okay. Can you tell me about the first Shakespeare and the Blues gig?
Yeah.
Cassie, you and Cam. Can you remember it?
What was the first gig, you asked? Sorry.
Shakespeare and the Blues is this, you three. Cam, yourself, Cassie.
Oh, yeah. It was the first time she sat in, we didn't do a rehearsal or anything like that.
So she came to one of your gigs and just gets on stage and starts playing with you.
Well, yeah, because we do a lot of improv and we just feel each other out, and it kind of worked. Immediately it worked really well. We were able to kind of go places on stage together, just ESP style.
Of course, she brought her harp, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
So she looked like she was ready for action. You know, just don't come to a gig with your big old heart. And what was the experience like for you, Cassie?
For me, it was, I actually had, since I knew Cam, and then, like, I met Brian, and they had been playing at Shakespeare in the Blues. I was, like, such a big fan that I was, and to watch, like, how proficient they were on each doing, you know, two different instruments, like Cam's on synth and drums, Brian's on guitar and bass, and
yeah,
they were like holding down so much, and like, you know, and just going through, like, I don't know, they painted this beautiful soundscape, and I'm like, I don't know where I fit in, but it wasn't my like intention to be like, hey, I want to sit in, like I wasn't that gutsy really,
because
I had it covered, you know, they like were doing so much, but I think they mentioned, they were like, oh yeah, like you should play with us, like bring your harp. So the next time I went to one of their monthly shows, I did bring it, but I didn't tell them. I just left it in the car, and I was waiting for them to remember that they had asked me. It was weird. I was just like, they probably were just joking. I couldn't tell if they were joking or not.
Yeah.
And then finally I did, I think, then I was like, oh yeah, I did bring it, you know, when I talked to them after the show. They were like, did you bring your harp? Like, you should have brought your harp this time. And I was like, yeah, I did. It's in the car. And they're like, why didn't you tell us? So then the next time.
So it was actually the third time. Okay.
The third time, yeah. Three times makes the charm. And I think that, I don't want to remember it wrong for the sake of drama, but it was like, I think that was like Christmas night or something, or was that Thanksgiving night? It was a holiday at night.
I think it was, must have been the Christmas. It wasn't like Christmas Eve, but it was like around that time, I feel
okay.
Like.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, yeah.
And you guys, and, you guys already had the tunes, but you went in and improvised with them, right?
Yeah. They already had like a couple that they had been working on because they had been playing together for years.
Right. Understood.
So yeah. But then eventually, when we recorded, like I don't think that stuff that they've been working on for years made it to the recording that you got, like the tracks that are out right now. But, you know, I want to
get into how you compose and how you guys work together next hour, because we're at the end of the second hour, February 15, 2022, Dish Wap Pedro Show, special guest, Cassie Watson-Fracion and Brian Weber. Hold tight for hour three. February 15, 2022, it's the third hour of the Wap from Pedro Show.
It is time to return to nature. It is time to strip yourself of your cares. Strip yourself of your inhibitions. Strip out of your clothes. You are free. It's time to go back to the woods. for the woods call out your name. They beckon to you. Return. Strip yourself of your fears. Strip yourself of your debts. Be free. Not as a slogan, not as an idea, but true freedom. The kind of freedom you have always yearned for. The kind of freedom that you've always known is there. Out past the city limits. Right at the end of your fingertips. You can see it. You can nearly feel it. Freedom. True freedom. The cool breeze passes through the trees. The leaves rustle and the wind sings. The soft grass pressed beneath your feet. You are whole. You inhale deeply. The smell of the fertile soil hangs fresh in the air. The smell of life. The warmth of the sun feels good upon your skin. You walk in peace with the animals. They know that you will not eat them, and in return, they shall not eat you. You feel no shame, for there is no shame among the animals. They see you for who you are. They see you standing before them naked. No earthly possessions. No debts. No investments. No cellular telephones. No laptop. No wake-up calls. No power luncheons. No clothes. Just you, the human animal, returning to nature, making right the sin of walking away so very long ago. The animals know. They see you as your true self. Naked. Perfect. Exactly as you should be. Exactly as fate intended. For yes, it is fate that has brought you to this moment. Everything has been leading up to this. You stand true, as you are, as intended, and you are loved, pure and unconditionally, among the animals, by the animals, loved for who you are, out here, in the woods. The sky opens up and everything seems so suddenly simple and clear as the eye of God stares down from above and beholds their beautiful creatures.
Pedro Show. Start off the third hour. Now, this is called Bruisey Pete's with Brian Weber. And a tune called Chicken. Boundless Relaxation. After that, The Woods. This is Sam Locke Ward up now with his consciousness expanding project. He told me he calls it. Ratchet Orchestra after that from Montreal with Wish Part 1, 2011. Also from another Quebecois, Miriam Gendron, Shenandoah Want. Then Sarah Davachi, Doubled Flutes, S.R. Woodward after that with Life Is. And finally, Shakespeare and the Blues, The Mechanics of Distance. So Cassie, composing on the harp. You do?
It gets done.
Okay. I like when it comes for a Shakespeare and the Blues song, who goes first? I mean, obviously at the beginning it was Cam and Brian together, but since you got into the equation, do you ever start it off with a harp thing? Hey guys, join in on this.
Oh yeah, that feels, yeah, that's, it's like you're a fly on the wall. That definitely happened. I think when we were tracking, it was like a long, like overnight, you know, we had a short time period and we kept going and going. And then just when everyone's like tired, like they'll like finish a phrase or like, okay, this feels done. And I'm like, actually, I'm just inspired now. So the harp's going to keep going. And then they'll like get back on it and be inspired too. So yeah, definitely start stuff off when it feels right, you know.
How many strings does your harp have?
47.
So it has 47 notes, half a piano. Wow. Trippy. You know, I have so little experience with it, but it's probably the grandma of all stringed instruments, the Greek times, right, in Egypt and all that. So a lot of the scales first came out of that. Brian, can I ask you, do you ever compose on the bass guitar?
On the bass, sometimes, yeah. Sometimes when I'm writing something, it'll start with just like a bass line.
I ask you that because, you know, I get asked, you know, what's the future of the bass? You know, 7 strings, 10 strings, 15 strings. And I'm thinking, no, man, maybe composition tool. Because, you know, we don't have that much harmonic content. So that gives, I mean, we got the rhythm, we got the starts and stops, we got a little bit. But I think it's way open for our collaborators.
Well, yes. Yeah. When I first, like, started playing bass, like, from guitar, I loved it immediately. And I found, like, when I was playing bass live, I was actually thinking more compositionally. Because you're like subtly directing a tune, both rhythmically and harmonically, and I mean that's great because you can really get more of an overall like concept of the song and like movement and feeling. So the bass is like, yeah, it does a lot of the heavy lifting a lot of the times in certain songs.
And you've got to kind of like look and get all predictive and stuff like I call it working the holes, right? You got to make places for the people. They ain't there yet.
That's true.
So, I'm very glad D Boone's mom put me on bass. For a little while, I was bumming out, you know, when I was a boy and stuff. But, man, I thank that lady all the time for getting me on there. I just love it. You know what?
I do.
We got some more Shakespeare's in the Blues. Cellophane Trees. Let me play this.
right. And the taste star rubies are budding in my diamond-encrusted house. And the rhythm is melodic. The rhythm is rhapsodic. Rhythm. Come with me.
Watt for Pedro show, last music for this edition. Shakespeare in the Blues, doing Cellophane Trees. Then we had Trobakova Krishna Pesci. Slovenia, right? With Božja noć u kruh. Yeah, sorry, ruining that language also. But they gave me the English translation. They're painting the night with blood. Good not to translate that one, huh? Shakespeare in the Blues, finally, with Star Rubies, which is the big jam, right?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about Star Rubies. I mean, it's quite a piece. Like, how did something like that evolve, right? It wasn't like somebody made a demo on a tape. Hey, guys, let's copy this, right?
Oh, that's a good feeling. I mean, I think my favorite part about Star Rubies is, like, the natural feel of it, how, like, goes, I mean, and you can hear, like, the bass, like, playing with the holes, like, filling it in, and really just, like, keeping the groove, like, just driving it. That's an example of what I was talking about earlier where, you know, like, I don't want to stop playing, and then, like, they're inspired and like, locked in and make it super sweet, you know, as opposed to just, like, you know, like a whimsy alone, you know?
Right.
You know,
and you guys, you're in New Orleans, you're on tour, right?
I think, actually, Brian, so we all have, you know, like a bunch of separate projects. Like, I'm working on my own, my solo album now. Brian's in the session for that. And then Brian's on, earlier you played the Bruzy Peace project, and Michelle's Melody Makers and Lost Body Ramblers, they're going on tour. They're going on tour for March for
Poetry. Right?
Yeah, Poetry. So everyone's going to be on tour. And then I think Cam's staying pretty local. Like, he's working in the studio as an engineer also. So
that's happening. A lot of people know, because in the old days there was a big difference between the knob people and the instrument people. And I'm finding a lot of instrument people now know knobs and stuff. They can record themselves. It's very happening. It's very happening. Yeah.
Well, 2 out of 3 for Shakespeare ain't bad.
Well,
Brian and Cam got the
knobs. You know, it's going to be down the road for you too, Cassie. And Cassie, how is a solo record, solo Cassie record, different than Shakespeare in the Blue record? Even though, because you got both Brian on both projects, right?
Yeah, I'm getting the most out of it.
How would you say they're different? You're more the shot caller.
Oh, wow. I guess I get a little more, you know, get to a little more range to make mistakes and kind of, you know, and kind of be uncomfortable with the vision. Like, instead of, like, waiting to see what it's going to be when we all collaborate, I can do that, but also kind of stick to, like, a core theme, you know. So if the theme, that one you played earlier, Ain't Nice, that's coming off of an album I'm doing, and it's called, like, Five/Angry. And one of the themes, you know, for that song is just, like, imagine somebody, like, broke, you know, your car windows, or, like, intense emotions. So kind of I get to, you know, communicate to the other artists in the room just, like, hey, like, we're working out of this place, like, this emotion. And so kind of just driving that instead of it. And it's still a collective effort, you know, at the end of it. But there's that. That's what that's like. And then my other album, This Appears to Disappear, like, that was just, like, strictly harp, like, doing, you know, like, treble and bass, like, just one harp doing everything. And one harp, one line, like, two mics, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, Connell.
so that, you know, and it's dry. It's dry. There's not as many, like, colors, but and like, layers and levels, but it's still, like, communicating, like, one emotion, you know, kind of not compromising on it, like, not going in any.
Yeah, not diluted.
Right. Yeah.
Full
strength. It's a very, like, pure and direct thing.
Cassie, where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me on my website, cassandharp.com.
So spell it. CassandHarp.com.
That's right.
Okay. And what about you, Brian? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no. And then Instagram is like...
Oh, yeah, yeah. But probably all your website, you got links to all that corporate stuff. What about you, Brian?
Instagram's my name, BryanWebre. And I got a Bandcamp, too, and the Instagram, I think, has links to it.
Okay, great. Because how far are you guys in with your record there?
What was that?
Well, we both have separate records going on right now. So.
Yeah, but you're he's playing on yours. Are you playing on his?
Oh no, not yet.
Okay.
mine is it's all laid down. So we're just about to mix it out and should be looking towards the spring. And then Brian, you just went into the studio, right? Last week you were in studio with Melody Makers.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of studio work with Melody Makers and some other stuff coming up. Yeah. Oh,
great. Look, big honor having you both on the show. Thank you so much. Will you come back on the show?
Oh,
you
can
listen to it and talk about it.
Knock, knock, who's home?
Yeah, it would be the big, heavy question there, but it's just a light one, a common. I just enjoy what you're doing so much, and I want you guys to keep on keeping on, please.
Thanks, man. It's an honor to talk to you. Yeah.
Appreciate you so much. Thank you so much.
People, it's been February 15, 2022. The Vidish Watt, Peter Shakir, you've had it right.